Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. We have a spring matching gift campaign. It's titled No Retreat. Why? Because we're being encouraged to retreat. And the Bible tells us, don't. Stand firm. Be immovable. Fixed. And that is our determination. We are going to stand firm with your support. Right now, we have a matching gift campaign. And we would love it if you would join us as a gospel partner so we can continue to produce new podcasts, new books, biblical resources, go to more campuses, and expand our digital social media footprint. We want to reach more people with the glorious news of the gospel. We're determined to stand firm and not retreat. Will you join us? Right now, all gifts are doubled because it is a matching gift campaign. To learn more and to join us as a gospel partner, fortisinstitute.org/donate.
That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Are y'all ready for your booster shot? Okay, roll up your sleeves before you get all up in arms. I'm not talking about that kind of jab. I'm talking about a shot of truth, because there is a subtle but really important shift that has happened that we need to be aware of. And it's not just in culture. This is inside the church. We're living in a moment where experience has become king. It's crowned itself king. And it's not just out there in the world. This is happening right here in our Christian circles. We're becoming people who interpret truth through our experiences, instead of interpreting our experiences through truth. So are you ready for your painful injection? Here you go. Brace yourself. Your lived experience is not more authoritative than God's word. It's not greater than the objective truth of Scripture. You know what they say, right? By the way, who is they and who gave them authority? Well, they say that truth is no longer something set, something unbiased. They say it's something felt. And this is the crack in the foundation, where the thinking of the world is seeping into the church, trying to convince us that what someone experiences is the biggest deal in the room. And this is the trump card that continues to be played in culture, because when that trump card, lived experience, gets played, it ends conversations, it makes disagreements go silent, and truth gets reframed, because the assumption underneath the statement is that what I have experienced is the most reliable interpreter of reality. And if you challenge that, you're not just disagreeing with the person, you're invalidating their feelings. Now, let me be clear. Experiences are real. Experiences shape us. Experiences affect us and impact us. And what we experience matters for sure. But here's the issue. When what we experience gets elevated above the truth of God's word, it doesn't just inform our reality. It actually redefines it. And that's where the problem shifts from a cultural issue to a theological issue. Because Scripture does not place ultimate authority in what we feel, in what we perceive, or how we interpret things. Scripture places ultimate authority in what God has said in His word. So that disagreement over who gets the final word, this at its core, this lived experience versus objective reality, objective truth, it's an authority issue. The culture says that the individual gets the final word, that what I say, my truth, is the final word. Scripture says, no, actually, it's God, because He is the author. He is the creator. He gets the final word. Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that verse, that there is a way that seems right to man, to a man, but its end is the way of death, that is the end of the idea that internal perception is anything that we can trust. Because we can feel like something is right. We can go to an experience that seems right, that aligns with what we think is right, and still be completely wrong. And I'm not just talking slightly off. We'd be dead wrong. And that's the danger of elevating lived experience, because it takes perception and crowns it as truth. But Scripture is constantly warning us against self-trust. Scripture tells us, do not follow your heart, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And this is not just a minor caution flag that Jeremiah is waving. This is a comprehensive indictment of the human inner life as any kind of a reliable authority. So when culture says that we should trust ourselves, trust our hearts, Scripture actually tells us to test what we're feeling and what we're thinking and what our experiences are telling us. We have moved in our culture from a language of asking about objective truth. We used to ask, is it true or is it false? But now we are asking questions like, is it true for you? Is that true for me? So we've moved from objective reality to a kind of personalized truth. And the problem is my personalized truth and your personalized truth are going to butt heads at some point. We're going to cross lanes, because truth, by definition, can't be individualized. Truth is fixed. Psalm 119:60 says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Forever. The sum of God's word is truth. So we're not talking culturally. We can't look to the situations we're in or what we've experienced. We have to go to the sum of God's word, because it endures forever. So when someone says to you, this is my truth, what they're actually describing is their interpretation, not the truth itself, because truth cannot originate in a human being. It's actually revealed to us through the word of God. And that's a really important distinction to be aware of, because this is where it becomes especially dangerous, even inside the church. It shows up in statements like, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I've experienced. So I don't feel like that's true in my situation. Or maybe you've even said this yourself, God wouldn't expect me to follow that because in my experience or because of what I've experienced, there's no way God's going to hold me to that command. And what happens in that moment is your experience is no longer being informed by Scripture. It's evaluating Scripture. You are lording your experience over the authority of Scripture. And that's a reversal of authority that God is not okay with. You actually need Scripture to interpret your experience. Hebrews 5:14 talks about having senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, what are our senses trained by so that we can discern good and evil? Not by accumulating experiences, but by constant practice in the truth. Now, if you're still feeling the sting of the jab of truth from a minute ago, from the truth that your lived experience is not greater than the authority and objective truth of God's word, and if you're still struggling with this newfangled math that I'm doing, consider this. If we allow our experiences to interpret life for us, to dictate to us, to define us, we're selling ourselves and other people around us short. Experiences are not self-explanatory. Self-interpretation of experiences can mislead us. Our hearts and minds can distort reality. Our female intuition, not a great tool of measurement. And we all know how our feelings and emotions can drag us down the street like a big wild dog on a leash, right? Our hearts are not neutral, y'all. Like Jeremiah said, our hearts are deceitful above all things. And that means how we perceive things, how we interpret things, the conclusions we make, all get filtered through a lens that's darkened by sin, which means we need an outside source that's not all gunked up by the fall of mankind. And Scripture alone is the only source of truth for us. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Let's look at what Scripture says and a couple of what I like to call biblical case studies for how Scripture handles this. Take, for example, Genesis 3. The first temptation in the garden was not just about disobedience. It was about redefining truth through perception, through deception. Eve saw that the fruit was good. It made sense to her. It aligned with what she perceived to be beneficial to her. Her experience in that moment was contradictory to God's word. And in that moment, she chose her personal experience, her personal interpretation of truth over revelation, over what God had said. And that's the pattern that has repeated ever since. Now, fast forward to the New Testament. In Galatians 2, we get a front row seat to a moment of tension between Paul and Peter. We're not talking about a new believer. We're not talking about someone immature in their faith. This is an apostle. Peter already knew the truth. In Acts 10, God had made it abundantly clear to Peter that the Gentiles weren't unclean. And Peter had seen the Spirit fall on them. He'd preached that God shows no partiality. So for Peter, this wasn't a knowledge problem. But in Galatians 2, we see an authority problem. Paul writes that Peter had been eating with the Gentiles. But then when a certain group arrived, Peter started withdrawing and separating himself because he feared their judgment. Peter's behavior changed, not because God's word changed, but because his lived experience, his fear of man, the social pressure, his discomfort around those that he was afraid were going to judge him, that lived experience felt more immediate, more compelling, more authoritative than what God had already said. And Paul says that Peter's conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Now, Paul wasn't being unkind. He wasn't being hateful. He was loving Peter because Peter's behavior got out of step with the gospel itself because his experience became authoritative. And the truth of what he knew that God had said, that Christ had said, became negotiable. Peter didn't stand up and outright deny doctrine. He just, in that moment, lived like it wasn't binding on him. And that is how lived experience, getting elevated over the objective truth of God's word, that's how it usually happens in our lives too. We don't reject Scripture outright. We just say things like, for me, that can't be true.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment, who's tackling the lie that your lived experience outranks the authority of Scripture. Yeah, it doesn't. But if you'll stay with me quickly just a second, I want to do something kind of practical with this break instead of just talking at you. If you'll pull out your phone right this moment, that is if you're not driving down the road, but if you have an opportunity to pull out your phone, do that and open whatever store you get your apps from. Search Fortis Plus and download it because it's free. There's no catch. And by the time we get back to Libby after this break, you'll have her entire library at your fingertips, plus every other Fortis fellow sitting right there in your pocket. I'm talking about Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel, and all the others. This is hundreds of hours of audio and video content with new content being added every single day. Now, the second thing, I also want to ask you to visit FortisInstitute.org. The reason that I want you to do that is I want you to investigate what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, because none of this content that I just told you about is possible without the support of our gospel partners. They're the reason it is free and it stays free. So if you've ever been impacted by anything that you've heard through anyone here at Fortis Institute, and you want to make sure that we're able to continue producing all of the content that we're producing, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Now, let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way.
Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Aren't you just so thankful that God doesn't just lay command upon command on us in Scripture without any real-time examples? He gives us case studies in the things that he commands us to do. And we see in Eve and in Peter a wrong response where these two allowed their experience to be elevated above the authority of God's word. But then we can look at people in scripture like Paul, and we can see that Paul, his actual experience was suffering. When he became a believer, his life did not get easier. His suffering and trials and tests actually increased. And he didn't suffer just a little bit. His lived experience was replete with deep and real and repeated suffering. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was betrayed. And eventually he was killed. He was put to death. So Paul takes that suffering, his lived experience, and he makes that his new platform, right? Actually, Paul does the exact opposite. He doesn't build his view of truth around what he has experienced. His suffering never becomes the centerpiece. He doesn't look at what's going on in his life and interpret truth from there. He says over and over again that he's looking at Christ, and he encourages everyone around him to look at Christ too, because that's what he's doing. And he sends letters of encouragement to the churches that he loves so dearly, and he includes prayers for those churches. And if you notice in those letters, he's not pleading for prayer for himself to get him out of the experiences that he's in. He interprets those experiences through theology. Not emotion, not situations, not the relationships he finds himself in. He views his life story and the truth through the truth, not through what he's actually experiencing. So how should we navigate it when we recognize that we have allowed lived experiences to be elevated above God's truth in our lives? Well, first you can look for some indications that this may have happened in your life. Maybe the truth has become kind of fragmented in your mind, and you wrestle with what version of this. There's no shared standard. Where am I supposed to put my feet? Where is truth actually landing? You might also recognize that your experience has become elevated to an authoritative place in your life when people correct you and you feel like you're being beat up. When your experience defines truth, then any kind of disagreement or correction coming from people who you know love you is going to feel like an attack. And third, God's word is going to get reinterpreted or dismissed or compromised based on whether it aligns with how you feel. You're going to start saying things like, that verse doesn't apply to me. My experience tells me something different than what I'm reading in scripture. But Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 gives us a great reminder. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. God himself is not subject to our perspective. He's not shaped by our experiences. He is the one who gets to define reality itself and truth itself because he is the author and the creator. Now, I need to be clear, I'm not dismissing your experiences. Your experiences matter. Jesus himself stepped into human experiences. We have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. God cares about what you've been through. But caring about your experience, being aware of your experience, is not the same thing as submitting truth to it. Again, experience is meant to be interpreted through God's word, not the other way around. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119, 105. Our feelings, our perspective, not lighting the way. Those are not the flashlight that we turn on to see where to step next. That is God's word and God's word alone. So we cannot read scripture and take our experiences and hold our experiences over the truth of God's word. But here's the good news. God's truth actually gives us what we're looking for and will never be delivered by our lived experience. John 8, 31 through 32 says, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So freedom that we're talking about here, that scripture's talking about, is not the world's view of freedom. This is not, I get to do what I want when I want. This is freedom from experiences and sin entrapping us, enslaving us. We now have the freedom to obey God, to align ourselves with what is actually true. Think about it like this. If you have been navigating your life with a broken compass, you're never going to get where you need to go. And your instinct, your heart, we've already addressed. It can't be trusted. It's a broken compass. You need something outside of yourself, something that is fixed, a fixed point to direct your path. Sometimes God's truth is going to directly contradict your lived experience. You might feel like you're unworthy in a situation, but you can speak truth from God's word to that feeling, that lived experience. Genesis 1:27 says that you're made in God's image. You're worthy because he's worthy. You might feel like you are defined by your past, trapped in, victimized, but scripture says that you're a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So the truth is you are not defined by your past. You are not trapped. You are free to obey God. You might feel like you're alone, but scripture says God is with you, Deuteronomy 31:6. Your experience may say one thing and God's word says another. And in those moments, you have a choice. Which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to trust? Now, submitting our experiences to God's truth requires humility. It means admitting that we don't see everything clearly, that our feelings are not reliable, that we need something greater than ourselves to guide us in the truth. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, that doesn't mean that your understanding is useless. It just means that it can't be ultimate. It can't be the final word. So what does this look like in our lives on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, when we are actively pursuing the truth of God's word and the authority of God's word over our lived experiences? Well, we have to bring our experiences honestly before God. David does a beautiful job at this throughout the Psalms. He doesn't fake it till he makes it. He doesn't pretend like things aren't going wrong or that he doesn't feel depressed and hopeless and alone. He's honest before God, but then he submits those feelings to the truth of God's word. And again, in almost every single Psalm, David turns himself back to the truth of the character of God, to the authority of the truth of God's word, and allows that to interpret his story, his experience, what he's walking through. You need to be willing to be corrected and trust that God's truth is good and that God is good and that he's working all things together for your good and his glory, even when it's hard, even when you can't see it in the moment, even when every aspect of your experience that you're walking through is hard and heavy and painful. At the end of the day, this isn't about minimizing what you're experiencing. It's actually about anchoring your experience in something bigger than you, something more authoritative than your deceitful heart. Because if your life is built on shifting feelings, it's going to feel really unstable. But if it's built on the unchanging truth of God, it's going to hold fast. Jesus says in Matthew 7:24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Isn't that where you want your house built? Not on your experiences, not on your emotions. If you're anything like me, you change every 5 seconds. Build your house on the rock. Hold your experiences honestly. God knows anyway. Be honest with God, but hold God's truth with authority. And when the two seem to clash, you have that choice of who you're going to trust, yourself or God's word, your experience or the authority of the one who wrote everything into existence. So here's the question we have to ask as Christians. What has the final say? What is the ultimate authority in our lives? Because the beauty of the Christian life is not that we're left to navigate truth by the shifting terrain of our own experience. The beauty is that we're given something outside of us that's unchanging and sufficient and authoritative, and that's the Word of God. And that's not a limitation. It's not meant to limit our lives or limit our joy. It's actually a gift. It's the better way. Because if the truth is anchored in your lived experience, then the truth is as shifting and unstable as you are on your hardest days. But the Word of God does not change. It doesn't need updating because it comes from a God who does not change. And now that you know the difference between lived experience and the objective truth of God, and you know that the objective truth of God and the authority of God's word is greater than anything you will ever experience, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.